Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, welcome to episode 108, the red and white baby episode. Yes, I'm working on a red and white quilt. Very excited. Don't know if I'm going to put music at the beginning of this, because you know what? It's about 9 o'clock on Thursday night. It is snowing, and I'm about ready to put on my jams and snuggle up with a good book. We already have a two-hour delay for school tomorrow. Yay. That's very exciting. The boys can go to school. I don't care if they go to school or not. I just want to sleep in a little bit. So, although, you know, they're hoping that the snow will stick. I don't know. The roads, I think, are too warm for that. But, if we get a school cancellation, that's fine by me, too. And I have to say, the two-hour delay, I remember being a kid and you'd get a school delay. And the day feels kind of weird when that happens. But either way, I'm good. It'd be fun just to sit around in my jammies all morning and read and work on my quilt, etc., etc. So, Thursday night, snowing, may not do the music, but I hope you liked the music last time. You should tell me what to tell you right now. Thursday night, it's been a gloomy week, rainy, not that chilly, but just not fun. But we are going to get a stretch of nice, sort of 50-degree sunny weather. So reasons to live. The quilting's going good. It's possible once I get on my jams, I'll be revitalized a little bit, and we'll finish the big stack of red and white blocks. They are 6.5-inch blocks. I have a bunch of units, two-piece together. I am waiting for an order from the Fat Quarter Shop, which I'm really hoping will be here tomorrow, because it would be fun to have a nice quilty project for the weekend. What else to tell you? I've got quilt diaries. I tell you, it's been a slow week. There's not a ton to tell you, really. So we should get on with the quilt diaries. But of course, the one thing I do want to tell you is thank you for everyone who commented on last week's episode. I want to tell if you would like to comment on this week's episode, a couple ways to do that. You can go to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. There you will see the very, very, what's the word? I don't know. I don't want to say skimpy. Just the first row of my red and white quilt. So the very beginning of my red and white quilt. You can go and see that and leave a comment. You're welcome to go over to Podbean. No one really seems to be commenting over at Podbean, and that's fine too. But that is offkilterquilt.podbean.com. And you can email me, and that's fdal@nc.rr.com. If you've not left an iTunes review, please feel free to do that too. You know, we podcasters always love the nice positive review on iTunes. So let's see who said hi this week. I got lots of nice comments on my braces. I know that the braces in the picture, the pictures that I posted last week, they're very hard to see. I think they're much more visible in real life. Although a lot of people tell me, no, it's not that big of a deal. You don't notice first thing because the top brackets are clear. I still feel self-conscious. Colleen commenting on the pictures wanted to know if that was the grin, the rictus grin that my dad was talking about. And yes, indeed, Colleen, that sure was. I got a nice comment from AJ Dubb saying that I looked great, sassy even. That's good. I want to look sassy since I seem to look 13. Heard from Terry, who said that she had braces three times in high school, college, and again as an adult. Wow, Terry, you are very serious about getting those teeth straightened. I hope they are straight. I hope you are happy. I'm going to be happy in 15, 16, 17 months whenever we get these off. I'll be very, very happy. Heard from Sarah Maureen, who says that she always uses a color catcher when she washes her quilts. Maureen, I did too. And in fact, I used like half a box. I used a lot. Maureen is commenting on the golden quilt. You know, talked about how the colors, the blue on the back faded, or didn't fade, it bled. And I do. I use so many. I will use a half a box, and I'm sure I used half a box. That was the first time I've ever had any bleeding. And, you know, I was talking last week about the red and white quilt, and the Noni's like, beware of red fabrics, that she pre-washed them. I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't pre-wash the red fabrics I'm working on now. Fingers crossed. I really hope they don't bleed. But it'll be okay because at least it's for me and not for someone else. Got a lovely note from Sherry D. Heard from Heather, who identified with me on the sports teams and kids. I think I was talking about Will being on a bad basketball team this year. I skipped out. I think I said that. I think I told you I was doing that, and I did that, and it was quite a relief. And they lost, although I think only by 6 points. That was actually, for them, a win. It's not a bad little team, just a really rotten coach. And I think, you know, at the end of the season, I'm not like a big squeaky wheel, but I feel like it needs to be said to the organization that sponsors this league, say, you know, this guy shouldn't coach. Sorry. You know, because the kids, I mean, Will is very chilled out, and he has a good time playing, but, you know, he's not learning anything. These kids aren't becoming better players. They're just learning that sometimes life is really unfair, and, you know, it kind of sucks sometimes, you know, and that's what they're learning. And you feel like, wow, this is a whole season lost in terms of learning new skills and getting better. And that's a drag. So I don't think this guy should be coaching. Heard from Sandy from Quilt Cabana Corner. Hello, Sandy. And she said she just downloaded Falling In. Thank you very much. I hope you like it. It's kind of an odd bird of a book. But, you know, doing the school visits I've done this year, I hear more from kids. I'm hearing more and more from kids who are reading Falling In and really liking it, which is really nice. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, she gave me a big thumbs up on the music. Kelly the Fifth, I will do more music. I promise. I'm just nappy right now. Let's see. And she said, every time I talk about organizing, it helps me get inspired to dig out. Yes. And, you know, if I have a long weekend at home because of snow, then I might do a little organizing. Who knows what I will do? 4-day weekend. I mean, it's already a 3-day weekend. I'm so greedy. I'm so greedy for sleeping in. And, you know, can I tell you, a big part of it is I don't like mornings. And I really don't like winter mornings. Mornings are hard for me. And I go through these periods where I wake up and I just wake up just feeling like, ugh. And usually once I have I don't drink coffee now, but, you know, once I have my tea and once I get going, I'm okay. It's not been a terrible week. It's been such a gloomy week. The last couple of days I have felt fine, especially today. Today I woke up and I felt fine waking up. I didn't feel like, sometimes I just drag myself out of bed. I'm like, oh, this is horrible. I hate it. You know? And so, but weekends, I wake up and I'm fine. I'm happy. So it's really just having to get up and get moving. I'm just someone, I need a life. I need to live in the lap of luxury is what I need. That's what I really need. I need just to kind of wake up slowly, have someone bring me a nice cup of English breakfast tea in the paper in bed and just, yeah. Because, you know, I'm special that way. You know, that's the thing. Is sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. And you just think about the really hard lives that so many people have lived. And you realize what a baby you are. But nonetheless, I am. Heard from Janet. She said she could hardly see the braces and that she goes to a church that had an associate pastor that had braces and the kids really related to him. I will be interested, Janet. At the end of the month, at the end of February, I do my first school visit. I've got a couple school visits coming up, and we'll see. I'm a bit dreading an extended day of talking because, you know, the wires and the braces, if you talk a lot, they do start rubbing and it gets kind of uncomfortable. We'll see how that works out, but maybe they will feel like they can relate to me. I hope so. I hope so. And then I heard from Kelly, the Pioneer Quilter. Hello, Kelly. And she said she didn't even notice I was wearing braces. So there you go. It's one of those things where I think I feel very self-conscious, like everyone can see and thinks I look goofy. And for the most part, people don't even notice. But, I feel like I need to explain them to everybody. I've stopped doing that. You'll be happy to hear. Okay, well, that's my thanks to everyone who took time to comment. Thanks to everyone who just thought about commenting, but you're in your car, taking your walk, and so you had good, lively comments in your mind. And maybe next time you'll actually have a chance to share them. I would love that. I love hearing from you. And I guess that's it for an introduction. Let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, Day 1. It's Monday, January 14th, a cloudy, gloomy, just about to rain sort of day. It's supposed to have rained all day and it hasn't, but it's still cloudy and gloomy. But we're okay. Everything's fine. The day started out funky. Jack came downstairs and said he didn't feel good. And I think it was more that he had not slept very well. It was hot yesterday. It was 77 and the house didn't really cool down much. It was 74. I had a hard time sleeping and I came down. It was 74. But, you know, to switch over from the heat, and obviously the heat was not on, but the whatever you call it thing in the hallway was set to heat, and then to change that over to AC, you really have to turn the whole system off and then wait 15 minutes. I'm like, fall back asleep by then. But anyway, I was up and I heard Jack tossing and turning and getting a drink of water and all that stuff. So he had not slept well, and he came downstairs and said he didn't feel well and he was nauseous and all this. So I actually let him go up for a couple hours because, you know, he really didn't look good. But then I made him get up around 10 and said, listen, I understand you don't feel good. I don't think you're sick. I just think you're really tired. And I think you ought to go to school. This is good practice for when you pull all-nighters in college. So he did go to school. I guess maybe some would think I'm slack for letting him sleep in, but I really could hear him not sleeping. And he said he just got an hour's sleep. So, man. But that started the day off kind of strangely. And I feel like it's been a very unproductive day other than, you know, getting a little bit of cleaning done. I am waiting for notes from my editor on a draft so that I can get back to work and kind of get back into routine. I still don't feel like I've been in much of a routine the last couple weeks, except I have been going to the gym. And in fact, I need to go to the gym in a little bit from now before I go pick up Will from school. Anyway, I had a good weekend. I did get some quilting done. Yay! Worked on the red and white quilt as well as finishing three mosaic blocks that I had started before the Christmas madness set in. So I'm making progress on that. Mostly with the red and white quilt that I'm working on. I've just gotten strips of red and white fabric sewn together. And maybe this afternoon we'll have a chance to get them. You know how you do that when you're doing blocks that have multiple, or in this case, two colors, red and white. So you've got a white strip in the middle, red strip on the other side, you sew long strips together, and then you cut them up into smaller units, and then you piece the units and turn them this way and that way. So I'm at the sewing the long strips together and then need to start cutting out the shorter units. Units, that's such a scientific word. Units. But I felt good just getting back to work. One problem I had was I only had one machine needle to my name. And I had used it for quilting the golden quilt. And it was a pretty heavy-duty needle. And I realized as I started working, I think on the mosaic blocks, it's like, wow, this is a very hardcore needle. And it's sort of ripping up this, it's kind of chewing up this fabric. So I put up with it for a while, but then Saturday went to Thimble Pleasures and bought some lighter needles. And my machine's very happy and my fabric's even happier. Thimble Pleasures did not have my Kona White. I needed Kona White and they were out. I guess it's post-Christmas stock depletion. I'm like, it's pretty simple, pretty standard fabric, gals. We need to have that in. I still have a little bit left, I'm going to go online to the Fat Quarter Shop and order a yard. It'll get to me faster than me getting back to Chapel Hill. Want to say I have been, my mom and I have been doing the Grandma's Attic Block of the Month. And we're actually done. We opted out of getting the backing fabric. Partly the block of the month mailings are done. I am not done sewing the blocks. I think I have two or three left to do. And I just felt like, you know what? I want to pick the backing fabric. The border fabric. I want to do that. And so I got in touch with them, the good folks at Grandma's Attic. And no, I'll tell you what happened. Actually, I hadn't really even thought about it. I'm not sure that I knew that the backing fabric was part of it. And I was checking my credit card online. I like to check it, you know, every week or so just to make sure that all the charges seem correct and not weird. And there was a charge for $40. And I figured that's what it was for. I had not received the backing fabric, but I just had that feeling. Like, I bet they do some sort of final put it all together kit. And so I emailed and called and said, you know what, I don't want it. You know, I don't want this if I don't have to have it. And they emailed back and said, that's fine. Just, you know, let me know for sure you want to cancel because we haven't sent them out yet. And I did. I emailed back and said, yes, please don't send this to me. And but the charge was still on my card for several days. And so I emailed again and said the charge is still on my card. And they emailed back right away. And all this is just a story to say that I thought the customer service was very good and very attentive. And so if you ever are doing business with Grandma's Attic, they're good people to do business with. And I think Fat Quarter Shop, I've never had any issues like that with Fat Quarter Shop, but I like Fat Quarter Shop because they mail stuff really fast. I went to Joanne's on Saturday to get yarn. Will wants checkerboard, socks, orange and navy blue. I could not find a pattern online, so I'm just going to do a regular sock pattern. And Newsome and Tarja, and actually started last night watching Downton Abbey, the world's best and probably most ludicrous soap opera. And I got started, but I realized, and it looked really cool, but I realized pretty soon into it, like just a couple rows of checkerboard, that I'm going to have to make the socks bigger because the intarsia really takes away from the sock stretchiness. You know, so intarsia is when you're using alternating two different strands, or at least two different strands, so in this case, two different strands of yarn. And so you're having to carry both strands all around. And so it just makes the sock a little less flexible. So I need to make this sock a little bigger. But they're going to be very cute. It kind of cracks me up that Will wants these, that he's asked for them. Yeah, that he came up with the idea. It's like, yeah, I asked him recently, I'm just, do you want some socks? I've made him socks before, and he seems to really like them. And he said, yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, well, what colors? And he's like, let me think about it. And then he came back, he's like, how about blue and orange? I'm like, stripes? He's like, no, more kind of like checkerboard. I'm like, all right, well. But anyway, so I have to start over, but I'd rather start over than finish up with socks that he actually cannot wear. So that is my crafty life, kind of up to this minute. I wanted to tell you about a book that I'm reading. It's a book, it's really, really good. I don't know if I'll finish it. And it's the kind of book I would actually like to own a copy of so I could dip in and out of it. It's nonfiction. It's called The Old Ways by Robert McFarlane. He is a British writer. I think he may be a university professor in England. And it's really about the old roads in England. He walks. He's a big walker. And he wanted to walk on these very old roadways. I mean, like from, you know, way back in the day. We're talking like Romans. We're talking like when the continents were still stuck together. I mean, you know, it's interesting, these paths, not just in England and Europe, but everywhere, including the States, that exist, even if they're not used, but they were used for so long that, you know, nothing's ever grown on them. And so, and you know, it's funny talking to the man about this book. I'm like, this is such a good book. It's beautifully written, beautifully written. I said, you know, it'd be really cool if we had roads like that here. And he just kind of looked at me. He's like, well, of course we do. You know, I mean, it's a young country, but people have been here for a long, long time. And animals have been here for a long, long time. I'm like, oh, yeah. And in fact, and you know, so we've never discussed this before. It's like, oh, yeah, there's the, you know, this association you might be interested in. It's called the old Trading Path Association. So it's this trading path that is still extant in North Carolina and Georgia, and I think further up the East Coast. But it just was how people got from one place to the other to go trade their goods. And, you know, probably before people used it, animals used it. And, you know, and there's this group that exists that what they go and clear the paths. So there's nothing, there's no undergrowth, but there's overgrowth. And so they go, that's partly what they do in this area. So they go out, you know, on nice weekends and go cut back vines and stuff, so that people can still walk this old trading path. It's very cool. You know, I love subcultures. I love that there's a group that exists that goes and does that cares about the old trading path. Here I am, almost 50 years old, have lived in the state a long, long time, was not even aware of it. And there's this group that's part of their life. That's one of the reasons that as human beings, it's something that gives their life meaning to go out on weekends and uncover this path that's been used for thousands of years. And I think it's really cool. Speaking of subcultures, I did go to the fiddle symposium at UNC on Saturday. I was going to go to this concert on Friday night, but you know, it was cold and rainy and foggy. I'm just like, I'm not leaving my house. I'm staying home. I'm going to get the man to build a fire. I'm going to quilt. I'm just chilling. But Saturday I went over and it was okay. It was very male in a way. If you've ever like hung out with guys who are very into music, they get so into arcane stuff. You know, like if you ever hang out with people who are really into jazz, guys who are really into jazz, it's like, well, you know, Thelonious Monk did about 8 or 9 different recordings of the Riverside Blues, and he, you know, and of course the first one was on Decca, and that came out in 1952, and then, but there's a live version done at, you know, the 5 spot, and, you know, just kind of like, and there was a little bit of that. There was actually a professor who was very interesting for the first 5 minutes, and I think other people found him very interesting for the 20 minutes that he spoke. He may have spoken longer than that. But the first 5 minutes, he was talking about how people assume that old-time fiddle music is Irish in its roots, and it's actually not. It's Scottish, and it's a very different thing. And in fact, you know, the kind of old-time music that is popular in the States and became popular in the States wasn't the kind of music that was played in Ireland until really like the late 18th century. I mean, no, the late 19th century. So, a lot, you know, people were already over in the States. I thought that was interesting. Just when people have preconceived notions of what something is or what something's roots are and then are totally wrong about it. So, but about 5 minutes, just hearing the thesis, I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I didn't need all the proof. I was actually willing to accept his as a professor that what he said was pretty much true. But that was just me. And a lot of people were into it. It was an interesting crowd. Again, it, you know, subcultures, it's probably the same people who are out there clearing the old trading path, to be honest. But a lot of long white beards, like hippie beards. It reminds you that the baby boomers are getting old. Because they were there, they were wearing flannel, there were very few young faces. I don't think classes have started back yet. And there were some students right in front of me, but mostly it was older people, mostly men, mostly kind of hippies who, you know, came out of the hills to hang out and talk about fiddle, old time fiddling and fiddles all day. I don't think they just talked about old time, but anyway. So there you have it. I'm glad I went. It was interesting to learn some of the things that I learned. I didn't stay the whole day. I just stayed for the first part because I had other things to do. But I did do it, and I'm glad. I am enlarged by it. Not really, but, you know, it's interesting to get out of the house and see what people are up to. Well, that is my report for now. My goal for the week is just to continue working. But I liked working simultaneously on the red and white quilt and on the mosaic blocks. And I'm getting enough mosaic blocks where you're like, oh, you know, this could be happening. This quilt might actually happen. And what I have to, what, you know, the thing is I could do is if I wanted to do not just borders. I can't think what it is. If I want to encase each block with white fabric. What is that called? I don't know. Seems like that would be obvious, but border each block with white fabric. If I did that, I could actually be pretty close to being done, but I kind of like all the blocks right next to each other. Without any interruption, without any visual interruption. So I think I'll just kind of keep going and to the math at some point, figure out how many more blocks I need. But I'm getting there. I like how it looks. I'm excited to have a red and white quilt. So that's where I am. So my goal this week is just to keep on keeping on, sit behind the machine, not kind of get too concerned about whether Jack's there doing his homework or not. Just kind of claim my space. So I will be back. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Wednesday, January something. 16th, I think, maybe. I'm a little thin. Yes, the 16th. You know, I have a little calendar down here on my bar, and it says, say, January 16th. That's what it is. It's about, almost 10 o'clock. I have finished my evening sewing. I'm making progress on my Irish chain quilt. I had to go and order some fabric. Did I mention that Thimble Pleasures was out of the Robert Kaufman Kona White? So I went ahead and went to Fat Quarter Shop online and ordered a yard of that because I just need it for everything. And then a half yard of the red because this is going to be my red and white quilt. And I'm excited about it. I've got one row composed. I think I've actually got it all together. So that's neat. I love red and white. So I'm hoping it's going to fit on the wall that I want it to fit on, that I have it planned for. And I think it'll come together really quickly. And one of the things I love about ordering from the Fat Quarter Shop is they get the orders out. Like, man, I ordered it last night, and I think by this morning, you know, before noon, I got the email saying it had been shipped. They ship priority mail, so I bet I'll see it by Friday or Saturday. So I'll have fun. It's a long weekend, and who knows how much progress I will make. You know, I thought I was going to use two different reds. I had some solid red and then a printed red that I got last year when I was thinking about red and white quilts, and I thought I would alternate, but, you know, I'm a little nervous about doing that. I'm afraid that optically it will not work. The problem is, of course, is that before I came to that decision, I already cut out my printed red. I guess it's like a leaf print. So it's a red with a white leaf print on it. I'm looking at it now. I don't know. It could be an oak leaf. You know, if you live in North Carolina, you're surrounded by oak trees. So you know that there are actually many different kinds of oaks and with many shapes of leaves. So I don't really think it's an oak, but whatever, it's a leaf from a tree. You get the idea. And I have a lot of it cut out. But you know, I think one of the things that I really love about doing backings is that you can do all kinds of stuff. And so I'm looking all around me, seeing fabric that I cut out, thinking I was going to use it, both just 2.5 strips that are about 42 inches long. And then I actually pieced it together, the 3-part strips. So here's one that's white, leaf print white, to cut into 2.5 by 6.5 strips. But I won't be using that. And so that will be, again, part of my backing. And I'll make it look fun and funky. So it's all good. It's all going to work out. And last week, I think I called the episode In Need of Inspiration. And I do feel inspired. And I've done some good work tonight constructing. So I don't know. You know, there's a part of me. It's like, oh, you should be doing something more complicated. But I love the Irish chain quilt. I've never made one. And right now, I think kind of getting something put together relatively quickly, you know, an easy, you know, I'm a process girl. And, you know, the weekend quilt on the one hand does not hold a ton of appeal. But right now, a quilt that could come together in a couple of weeks really does. And part of my excitement about getting this quilt put together is, of course, wanting to get into that Craftsy machine quilting class that my mom got me for Christmas and see if I can do some neat quilting. So that's exciting to me and a good reason to persevere. Obviously, with the mosaic quilt, it could be years. I don't think so. But, you know, the good thing about doing this and kind of making progress on the Irish chain quilt, making some fast progress, is it does make me look over at a quilt where I actually have quite a number of blocks, mosaic quilt, and think, you know, it's going to look really neat. I'm kind of ready to finish up with that too and have it on the bed. Amazing. Imagine that. It's been another really gloomy, rainy day. It's just been a kind of cruddy week, and it's hard. Sometimes, you know, I'm just very impressionable. Like if you come around me and you have a cold, I immediately think that I have a cold. I'm impressionable that way, and I'm impressionable if it's cloudy and gloomy. You know, I just get in a funk. And then, but you know, if the sun breaks through, which it has not in several days, but if it suddenly becomes a beautiful sunny day, I'm like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's good. I really am affected. I mean, I think a lot of people are. It's not just me. And I had to tell myself that today. I'm still waiting to get notes or actually to have a conversation. My editor and I are going to talk, I imagine tomorrow or Friday, about this draft that I sent her in late November. And until I talk with her, until I get an idea of what I need to do to revise this draft, I am at loose ends. It's very odd. So, you know, I've been doing some of this volunteer work for the Folklife Institute, so that's good to have that kind of taking me something to do. So, you know, it's gloomy, it's cloudy, and part of me's like, why don't you just read a book? Why don't you just sit down? I'm reading the Julia Child's biography, which I started and was not sure if I would finish. You know, I'm like that. I have books that I start and just kind of go, you know, kind of like that. You know what I did that with? The new, what's her face? Kate? You know, the one we like so much, Australian. It's called this, hold on. Let's look this stuff up. The Secret Keeper by Kate Morton. I put it on hold at the library, and I got it right at Christmas time, which is actually a terrible time to get a book that you've been wanting to read because, of course, it's Christmas, and you get all your Christmas books. But I started reading it, and, you know, she's very good, and she sets up these things right away, you know, kind of mysteries. It's not really a mystery novel, but she's, you know, she sets up these things that, you know, you're not going to really figure out what happened or learn what happened till the end of the book, and that's fine, but there was just something that didn't, I think because she kind of has sets up all her books kind of the same way, and I think, say if I'd gotten it for a Christmas book and had several days was like, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this book and just luxuriate in it, I might have enjoyed it, but I felt a little rushed. Had it on hold, and you know, I knew that once my time, you know, the 3 weeks allotted to me were up, if I didn't have it finished, I wasn't going to be able to renew it. And I just had some other things to read, and I wasn't fully compelled to continue with it. So I'm not saying I thought it was bad. I just thought, even though I don't actually know where this is going, I kind of know where it's going, and you know, and I'm really familiar with this setup on Kate Morton's part. So I'm not saying don't read it. Not saying even I thought it was bad, but it just didn't suck me in, and I had other reading to do. In fact, I have to start The Paris Wife for my book club, which meets next week, but I feel like that's going to be a fast read. Anyway, so what I'm reading right now is Dearie, the biography of Julia Childs, which when I started, I wasn't sure. The thing about biographies, I enjoy biographies, but you always have to get through the stuff about the grandparents and the parents. Now, I find my grandparents and my parents very interesting, and their life story is very interesting. But you know what? Julia Childs, you know, someone that distant from me, like, I mean, you need to know, right? You need to know her background. That she was raised in Pasadena, that she was raised in a very wealthy Republican family, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's all pertinent, but to some extent, I'm like, come on, come on, come on, let's get to Paris. Come on, let's go. And also the thing with Julia Child that's really interesting is that she, in some ways, really did not come of age until her 30s. She was really immature growing up. She went to Smith, and sounds like it was in some, and she would say, I think she kind of looked back at that time of her life with regret. She wasn't a good student. She wasn't serious about school. Her mother had gone to Smith, which I think is, you know, one of the reasons that she was there, and she just kind of wasted it. And it was not until she, you know, till World War II, and she signed up, and went, you know, with whatever the organization. But, you know, one of the information service organizations, you know, one of the spy teams, essentially, and went overseas, that she really began maturing. And that's where she met her husband, Paul Child, and who was quite an intellectual. And they were friends for a long, long time before they were romantically involved. I think she became romantically interested in him long before he became interested in her romantically. But they were very good friends. So, and I think he liked being a teacher and teaching her about food and culture and saying, you should read this, you should read that. And that friendship really deepened her, and they came back to the States and they got married, and then he got a job that sent him overseas to Paris. And then, of course, and that's where I am now. And it's very fun. She's really learning how to cook. And it's interesting because she was not that interested in cooking for a long time. And even, you know, when they first got married, she was not a good cook at all. And they moved, and they really, I think fairly early on in their married life, went to Paris. And she got very, that's, but she loved the food there so much. That's what got her interested in cooking. And also she didn't have anything to do. And it was, and if you've seen Julie and Julia, you're familiar with all this, that it was Paul who said, you know, why don't you take a cooking class? You've gotten interested in, you love the food, you're getting interested in cooking. And of course, that's what really changed her life. But it was, you know, but anyway, for the first part of the book, you're going through the grandparents and the parents, and then you've got Julia, who in some ways for a long time was not a person who is really all that interesting. But then you get to this point where, you know, she becomes very interesting. She really grows and changes. And that was neat to witness. So I'm enjoying it, and I'm definitely going to finish it. I need to make some headway. In fact, as soon as I finish here, I think I'm going to go read because I need to then also finish The Paris Wife, which I think I may have told you. I listened to a little bit on audiobook and was not blown away by. But, you know, I find listening to books on audio, which I actually really, really enjoy doing, it's such a different experience than reading. And, you know, sometimes your experience of a book, an audiobook, you know, I think always, is really influenced by the reader. And it may have been, I just didn't like how it was read. And I will also be able to read it faster reading it on the page. So need to finish Dairy, but I would recommend it if you're interested in food or cooking or just you know, an interesting life once you get past the teen years and adolescence and all that. That was well lived. It's kind of inspiring. It makes me, you know, I have mastering the art of French cooking, and well, I should really cook out of that a little bit. That could be fun. I think that is it. Just gloomy, wet week. Not much going on, just trying to find some stuff to do until I can get back to work. But I'm happy to make some quilting progress. I hope you are making some quilt progress too, and having good quilty dreams and being inspired and not being gloomy if, in fact, where you are, it is gloomy as it is right here in the middle of North Carolina. I will be back next week, hopefully with huge progress reports to give you. It's not all about progress. We know that. It's not all about product. It's about being happy. It's about being one with the quilt. Don't you think? Yes, I think so. I'll go ponder that. You do the same, and I'll see you next week.